Way back on April 15, 2009, on Cash Flow, we presented Ion for the first time as Ian. Many people heard the Ion as Ian. We were pretending he was a human being because we didn't know if James Martinez's serious economic financial cash flow could handle some input from non-physical. But there was an interesting thing that happened the night before. The night before, April 14th, was the first melting titanium, which was an idea that Ion came up with a couple of weeks into our life with Ion, you know, by the 1st of April. Ion comes in March 18th, 2009, and somewhere in there, Ion, it must have been before April 8th, because on the April 8th cash flow, I announced melting titanium, where I did not indicate what I was doing with non-physical. No one knew, nothing. Nothing was said so far. I had blasted a manifesto on March 25th, but nobody knew where that came from. So here we are on April 8th. I'm telling James and the audience that we have a new show or a new network or something coming up, an ESP network, and we wanted people on April 14th, 6 p.m. Hawaii time, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We wanted people to practice some kind of an imaginary ESP, to try to hear something or to send messages to me. Images, whatever. I established, I've not gone back and listened to how I announced it, but I couldn't have announced it as relating to Ion because nobody knew about Ion yet. So I announced some kind of situation that on April 14th, people could participate through ESP or something, send in images, do whatever they think, try to commune with me and Carolyn in some way. And then I would come on April 15th, the next day, and talk about what we received from people. What images, I guess. I'm not even sure. I have to go back. We'll have to go back and hear that, see how I explained it. But so what we have here, we're going to play tonight, is our scheming and planning for this situation on April 14th, 2009. So Tuesday, April 14th, the night before April 15th, which would be the turnout to be the first time Ion would be performing on Cash Flow. Ion is Ion. But we do this ESP thing, so I thought I would play how we did this. What did we do? It was Ion's idea. Nobody knew about Ion. Ion's telling us to get ready for chip blowout if EMP happens and we don't have chip body technology. We're going to have to use some newer technology. So Ion suggested we will start to build and rehearse this new technology. There'll be a couple of points I've got to edit out a little bit, but overall, it's going to be a good session.
And these are sessions and words that we never thought that we would air, correct, Bob?
I've been thinking about I'll be airing Melting Titanium someday, but I certainly didn't think about it before the show started, payday, and only recently, the last few months, I started playing stuff because I was going through and discovering how good it was. So, yeah, it's only the last few months I start to imagine, well, if I got so many good stuff in our private sessions, there must be some good stuff in the melting titanium. And I think it's pretty interesting. Here's Ion teaching us how to do this, build this new technology, which we had no clue what it was or what Ion was talking about. We didn't have any clue what abilities Ion had. So we start off as if we're a radio show. I must have talked about broadcasting a radio. We're going to do a radio show. We didn't even have a title. I just said we're going to broadcast between here 6 and 7 Hawaii time, 9 and 10 Pacific Standard Time. See if you can hear us. And so we begin arguing over what's our opening theme song or something like that. That's how we begin.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. Okay, so we play this.
Okay, this is Astral Cash Flow. Our theme song is Watermelon and Easter Hay with Frank Zappa. A great song, one of Carolyn's favorites. So, we have a guest here. He's an authority on all kinds of things, yet he loves to not know. Ion. This is a new technology, a new network. We are responding to you. You don't need to use any electronic or any products on the lithium-ion battery. Our little eyes are on, and we're on. Now, my co-host is Ion. Ion. Any topics you have for today?
Singing in the Rain.
I always associate that with the Clockwork Orange movie. You know, the thugs would sing that song.
Mm-hmm.
And they pounded on people. Then there's Dylan's song, hard rain's going to fall. Is there something about rain that fits the dire economic mood today?
Yes. The rain is falling, and the rain is being more consistent. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's the evenness that allows the flow. You're not judged to be caught in the rain.
Is how the rainee interprets the rain.
That is correct. That is correct.
It's a constant. Now, Dylan did a song, Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, and years later, I heard an interview, and he said he was talking about the constant news. He was actually talking about electronic nature, the environment, the information environment, how one couldn't know what's going on. That's what actually Dylan meant when he said, Hard Rain's Gonna Fall.
And don't forget Ethel Merman's version of Everything's Coming Up Roses. That's a pictorial for you there, Bob.
Where did that get sung? Is that associated with a movie?
Broadway, but yes, Ethel Merman's, that was her one song. But Everything's Coming Up, Sunshine and Lollipops.
Well, that would be true if we have this new technology. It makes things a lot easier.
Well, and those are resonant points that would be significant to show themselves that way. One other activation bit of business, the activation and the resonance that you're speaking of has to be activated. That activation began with your advertisement or your playbill regarding this interaction. Those that are participating from the non-physical aspect or that are sensory receptive to receiving such a block would now, at this time, start having the resonance or the non-physical part of themselves would consider this an activation.
And that was the YouTube, the little thing that took my announcement last week on the show and then made a short minute and a half, a colorful YouTube with that coming Tuesday announcement. That's what you mean? You're thinking of that?
Yes.
And so that activated it when they saw that.
So that was the playbill that made them even notice it. The activation just now came from the non-physical part that sometimes folks speak of that they have inside them. This activation now sending that activation, the non-physical part of them, that if they were, let's say they're a little late getting started, that's the wake-up call that sets the alarm off to go, oh, yeah, that Zappa fella.
Their physical mind's eye will pick up images. That's how the physical responds to the non-physical activation.
Sometimes, yeah.
They might feel another way.
It's like when you get a tune stuck in your head and you don't know why. And then, number one, you don't know where the tune came from. And number two, you don't know why you can't get it out of your head. Well, that would be a good example. Another part is from the telekinesis aspect of resonance. Fears are activated from certain places in your knowing, and sometimes those are fed from the mind side of the physicalness, but that resistance is also an aspect. For example, when people have an abject fear regarding, let's say, rhinoceroses, I don't know if there's a term for a fear of rhinoceroses. Mm-hmm. They could actually even smell a rhinoceros, and that fear would then be activated in them. Hunger pains are activated when you smell something delicious looking like fruitcake.
What's that relate to, this point you're making, the telekinesis?
The point of, I don't know how many in physicalness would remember fruitcake baking, but it has a specific smell that would be unlike any other smell. There's no other smell that is in our knowing that smells like fruitcake baking. That would be a specific point of resonance if folks realized for some reason they started smelling their grandmother's fruitcake baking that they didn't like to eat, but they did enjoy smelling.
What is these examples relating to?
Okay, we're just taking a 22-second break.
I've had those kind of effects very intensely. Takes the bird thing. It suggested that we charge ourselves in the morning or at some point in a quiet period. That would be like that experience I had. You would be able to tap into it. I'd have that feeling of the child feeling every day.
And it makes for a picture. That picture becomes a red cardinal,
which we see a lot here.
Now, tell me this. In your physicalness, what would make the bird sing? Do you see it's unusual that the bird started singing right that moment?
You're saying they did?
They are, yeah. The point is, what is going on in you that makes the bird in your window start to sing now?
Right, I can hear it now.
We heard it before maybe it started singing, and we're a fur piece away, and we still heard it singing, and that brought up that picture of either hearing the audible bird singing or the picture of the red cardinal.
So the picture may have made the bird sing.
And or that activation.
To me, you're pointing out that nature is more in touch with the non-physical, and when the non-physical is activated in me, it responds.
Every single time, just like your listeners are responding.
There are a lot of butterflies here in Maui, but every day we see walking to the beach, butterflies bouncing around us. At some point, they stand out. And, of course, we're in our joy going along in the great environment here. Is that butterfly, it could even be the same butterfly, shows up every day?
For their span, the one that specifically, you know, is actually more like a moth.
Oh.
It has the big orange spots on the middle of its back. It looks like a monarch butterfly, but it's not. And it has dark fringes around the outside edges, then the bright orange spots that look like big eyeballs.
And that is one that finds us every day.
And what the spots are is it makes it appear to be eyes, so it would scare away a predator that might be a little gecko that might be hungry to eat them. So now you have the monarch butterfly or moth with the big orange eyeballs on its back with the dark ridges around it and the little green gecko that's waiting to eat it. You see, you're really drawing a lot of different pictures that'll be significant as they come along. But here's what you don't know. What you don't know is that that is a practical experience that resonates with you. Your listening audience that's also participating in the ESP project or show, maybe those resonances are coming from them to you, which makes the red cardinal that they see sing.
They're calling in.
They're responding to an ESP connection in your show that's showing up in your window that you're recording that you're going to talk about in a day.
You're saying that the red cardinal is an expression of their response.
Of their activation of the non-physical and resonating with this part. It's got to flow both ways or it doesn't flow at all.
And it always is flowing both ways.
Or it doesn't flow at all.
It can get to a point of not flowing. That's the disconnect.
That's correct. So then that's when ESP becomes a bunch of hooey and it's not real and you can't get there from here. And
now, why did what we call primitive man, did they have this flow going easier?
You mean the 100 monkeys?
Yeah, but I just
that
mean
early.
Okay, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. But I'm thinking of human form. Some people romanticize that primitive man was very psychic, and that's where the mythology of Atlantis, Lemuria, and other sites. The thing is, do you think that it flowed easier and that would be natural because humans weren't as complicated?
No, it flows the same as it always has. Perfectly, fluidly, completely. But because of those arenas of blocks or stops or that doesn't work or you can't do that or you can't get there from here, it's the same thing that would cause, and here's another picture, the dark ages.
You're saying that human cultural thought, which is, now I'm thinking of a session yesterday, the tactility fact. I interpret the way we discussed tactility yesterday as the human cultural thinking making function. function that gets in the way or blocks or plays with the direct ESP that's going on between people's consciousness.
But just like you're male and you are sexually oriented to be drawn to females, and yet you don't sleep with all of them, but you could.
If I wanted to, you mean?
Well, if it was your desire, it's not your desire to sleep with every female on the planet or
right.
on your island, right?
Yeah.
But yet you still are drawn to women folks, and your mate is drawn to you, or she would have already gotten rid of you a long time ago. But because of that, you choose to co-create from the non-physical. That makes a bond that even though you're not the perfect aspect of human in a genus and all the time, that the non-physical bond still binds you to your mate. And that's the difference of how that applies.
What does that refer to?
That of the clicking in of someone who's tapping in or not having a block regarding it. It's not an ipso facto. Because you love women doesn't mean you sleep with all the women, but you enjoy sleeping with the woman that you sleep with. But that means that, therefore, if you only sleep with the one woman, does that eliminate every other woman in your experience? No. But that's the only one that you choose to activate, to engage with, be personally connected to.
Now, how does that relate to the cultural blocking of ESP?
Same way. The ESP may sleep with an individual or with you or something of that aspect, but doesn't necessarily sleep with every human on the planet. It might not be their orientation. So therefore, that's why in the earlier days, you drew the parallels that they were much more in tune and could pick that up. No, they just had less resistance regarding it.
What makes more resistance? That's cultural.
Contrast.
There's been a lot of contrast in human experience built up, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And that sometimes then would affect a disconnect or a block, or they don't want to have to work for it, or they feel they have to work for it, and if they're doing it through action, then that eliminates the possibility of non-physical having an interaction. That's what makes the pink dogwood bloom in winter.
Now, we've had the red cardinal, which I'm thinking just talking about a red cardinal on a window, and then we got the black monarch, and then we got the Dark Ages, and he says that the Dark Ages is your next picture, is Dark Ages. I don't realize at this point, but the images are coming in, and Ion is naming them image. And apparently someone sent in red cardinal, and that made me aware of the red cardinal that was sitting around or something. Okay? So now we have pink dogwood. You have Ion and I talking, and Ion is going to incorporate the images that are coming in that I'm not aware of into his sentences. So he's going to incorporate whatever it is. He's looking for an example. Someone sent in a pink dogwood, thought it up or did something with it, and then Ion picked it up. So that's the procedure here you're going to be witnessing. Okay, so I think we can continue.
That's what makes the pink dogwood bloom in winter.
It seems that the cultural complexity and human artifacts that have been created were necessary resistance environments for people to bounce off of and create newer things.
I'd say yes, but then you look at the glass. People who used to blow glass, specifically art glass, back before technology made that a whole new meme, that became a prized place. Porcelain workers. People who had the artisan who blew glass, art glass, beautiful colors, ambers, greens, all the different fabulous colors, stained glass artisans, they can't mass produce that, you see. So in some aspects and in venues, the individual artisan creating the rose window, that's a good essence of a one-of-a-kind creation. Drawing the parallel from the old times when an artisan made of something special, and that was wonderful because it was no resistance. It was just the creation. All right, now you maybe can mass produce the same type of glass, but it won't be quite the same. And that's the new technology that you're talking about, where people don't have the same appreciation for wonderful blown glass because it's everywhere. So therefore, they discount the value or the importance of bringing art glass into their experience. The same thing is true with an ESP experience, an extrasensory perception. Perception, isn't that interesting? The perception of fabulous art glass may not be as wonderfully endearing as it used to be when someone spent 40 hours on one piece. And now they make 40,000 pieces in 1 hour. It changes the perception. So it's the same as it always is. Good art glass is good art glass. Good ESP is still good ESP. But if it's sitting around everywhere, you don't have quite as much regard. It's not as special. Not as unique. Well, that's why it's the same, but that's in your society. What's happened is people have this ability and capacity and have always, it might have been a little more easily noticed when things weren't quite so technologically advanced. Mm. That's what you want to describe it.
I see the electronic environment, people have more and more technological ESP, or what they thought ESP was. They have access to all kinds of things instantly. So if ESP is happening technologically, it loses its specialness. But has that been a factor in thinning the crust from the veil?
From your perspective, yes. From your aspect of knowing, yes. It's what made you notice. But here's a perfect example. The bird was singing before you noticed it. And yet the bird was singing just as sweetly as it ever was.
Like sources whispering to everybody.
Absolutely. Perfect words. Very, very good.
In a way, with the electronic simulation of ESP, it becomes normal or available and not so significant. So we think we've lost it. But we actually are moving into a new intensity or ability to connect with it now.
Just like the picture that you could resonate from smelling of hickory smoked barbecued baby back ribs. That's fun because the pictures that you're presenting are so far over the edges that you couldn't get there. It's not like an accident, you see.
It's
not an accident when you have the validation of folks talking about things that they got from your show. When they start talking about hickory smoked barbecued baby back ribs, you've got to know they were with you because you went from pink dogwood blooming in the winter to pig ribs cooking. You can smell them. You see, there's such a far stretch. It would, the resonance with that would be a validation of the success of your ESP radio show.
I was inspired by it, apparently, because I understood a new technology has come in to allow this. Now, are we tapping into what the birds have been singing for eons, or is there something being made here that's relevant or responding to the nature of our time?
Absolutely. It is so joyous from the non-physical part of you that the birds just can't hush their singing. They are rejoicing. They are absolutely rejoicing that they've now come into the place where the non-physical that they recognize just naturally, instantly, they're like when they fly south for the winter, they just know that part of them.
Yeah.
And they react to it. This new place of, the best word is awakening, but you just got to know you weren't asleep. You weren't asleep. So it's not like you were asleep and now you're awake.
It's culture that was asleep, the meme, the mass consciousness.
Maybe. It's just they were so used to it that they didn't give it any attention. It's hiding something in plain sight. Now they're noticing something different, and the birds are just delighted regarding it.
So instead of waiting for Steve Jobs' new iPhone squared, whatever it's going to be, we're advocating here that people tune in to a technology. And the technology is not a gadget. It is a time, a moment, a opening, a transition, a new butterfly.
It's activating of a frequency that they already have. It's the same way your recording equipment that you enjoy.
Yeah.
You had it all along. You had it a long time before you realized that you could use it. You were looking for it, and you had it all the time. It was always there. You just figured out how to turn it on.
In the course of talking here, am I blocking the response that's coming in? I would say I'm not, because I'm interacting with non-physical, so my non-physical is downloading what's coming in, right?
Yes, it's like the artificial insemination of a black Angus cow.
There have been experiments like this, but maybe not in terms of technology or radio show, but there are groups trying to engage in what they imagine as ESP, right? It's been going on for 20 years or something.
They're trying through action to activate the gift of a sensory perception that is excited. And so anytime that's the case, that's true. You can melt glass if you add enough heat to it, but that's through action. But if you just naturally allow it to be, you can take sand and allow it to be made into glass. You know, like when lightning strikes the beach and it gets so hot it makes glass? That's another one as well.
We're getting a lot of images here.
They're amazing. And your folks that are listening and are participating, some of those are getting those, sending them to you. You're picking those up.
Lightning on the sand, that is coming to me, but you're picking it up and saying it to me. Is that what you mean?
That's correct.
You're my co-producer. You're there and taking the calls and reporting
them. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like the pig that looks for black truffles in France.
What is a truffle?
It's actually a fungus.
Oh, okay.
A mushroom that grows in the ground and pigs can smell them. And they're apparently quite expensive in your world, but they are just delightful seasoning to add to different savory dishes. Truffles that are sweet, that's just a ganache that has a nougat truffle.
When I described the show last Wednesday on the radio, I didn't give much indication. Just said we had a new technology and we're going to do it. And I've talked to a couple of people, but I haven't been giving them any instructions. But what's interesting, a lot of them are thinking of beaming. They're thinking a traditional ESP format. Let's beam images to Bob, which is good that they're doing that.
Well, that's why you're getting orange cotton candy.
Why would people think that beaming images is what we're talking about?
Because you set this up to do the show now, then you're going to need to have some litmus, understandable, quantitative validation from the physical folks that remind them of, that they have this ability and capacity. And in doing that, that's what I can activate this thing that's already in them.
They are trying to activate it through a kind of mental action.
Action.
They're doing
That's
action.
That's the problem. That's
yeah.
the problem.
But it's beginning. They're acting and sending us stuff. Tomorrow we can explain, we'll get more interaction if we don't think of acting or action.
It'll resonate that the same way that you melt titanium.
And what is the method of melting titanium?
Don't know of one.
So what is this technology? We're melting titanium.
That's your picture.
Ah, that's our logo for our network. What is titanium used for?
It's super, super, super hard, and they normally use it a lot in the space program. Biggest use in what you're getting now is in refineries, the fittings in oil refineries. The titanium fittings hold up as they are so dense and hard. They hold up to the corrosive nature of Texas tea, light, sweet, crude.
Texas tea is light, sweet, crude, and it holds up to
the corrosive values of the sulfur content of oil refining. It's a super hard metal.
harder than diamonds?
Diamonds aren't a metal.
So we are melting. It's the melting titanium telekinetic non-action archetypal grid. No, this show, we have the telekinetic non-action archetypal grid. That's the technology. But this show is melting titanium.
And the next picture is a Stratocaster.
That's a guitar, right? Any other details?
Stairway to Heaven.
That's done very well by Zappa. And that would be the theme song of the show. That would be our, like, I thought of Zappa and he said, Watermelon Easter Hay. That's more of a sad song, but Stairway to Heaven, that's going to be the show's theme song. That's like 1, 2, 3, though.
Right.
So what would be 3, 2, 1?
Well, that's where you're starting. Okay, now this is a negative connotation of that, but it's a good example. 3, 2, 1 of that would be Highway to Hell. You see, we're already there. That's 3. Doors can activate it, and then it can affect your causal wanting and asking. And therefore, it sets the path. It's the highway to hell. What we're doing now is going to put us in a position of what you call hell. And that's where that song comes from. So they're just enjoying us. Well, hey, we're on the highway to hell, so what difference does it make? It's all good. Let's just have fun.
Yeah, because they think they're already there.
Correct. Yeah, it's 3, 2, 1.
I was intrigued by yesterday's session. Eduardo was talking about tactility and thought. It was very interesting. The way I understood tactility is human perception it's making. And now we've extended our creation to all these artifacts that got in the way of the thought, the direct transfer. But paradoxically, the technology led to a super tactile input environment, human-made, and that has opened people up to remember the veil has thinned. Yet we can easily disconnect more from the thin veil with the simulated technology of ESP all around us, right? There's lots of opportunity to engage in the distraction of the simulated ESP, the stairway to heaven.
And you have a listener in California who's sending you an image of a dung beetle walking on the Great Wall of China.
Now, these people knew to do this. This is what people think ESP is. I had thought of this, but everybody is doing what they think ESP is. It's sending messages.
That is that creation, see, because they are creating in their world. This now becomes a perfect validated co-creation. And what's interesting is it hasn't been done before.
In what way?
Open media, what you call a tactile radio show.
No one's ever proposed doing a show.
That whosoever will that wants to, that is resonated or activated, and now they're popping up all over the place, down to a New Englander enjoying Manhattan clam chowder.
That's what's happening right now?
That's exactly what's happening. They're coming in, and they're stacking, and they're picking up because the resonance, because the activation, the cane, and your expression creation of this opportunity or experience that you were already having in your non-physical, you got the position that you wanted to bring it into your physicalness. Well, other people have the same thought process. But you, Bob, you have the innate ability to believe it and then see it. Other people need in a position, they need to see it to be able to believe it. And that's a little backward because then everybody else is creating in your world. See? But if you find yourself the ability that you can participate in it, you don't understand what electricity is either, and yet you should still use it and benefit from it. That's the same type that is here.
You're saying that, you know, the New Englander having Manhattan clam chowder is responding to this notion of what we've created here.
The resonance that you're putting out.
Yeah, and I'm putting out the resonance and because I've done it with ION. I've brought it, the non-physical touch with physical, doing that, and now they have that desire, but it comes through this way.
Potentially, in this beginning days, and then you have some validation. Once you have that validation, what it does is it enlightens or opens or awakens, which is not the right word, but it fits real good, the
going to have Ian on, and we'll mention the show. Ian might comment on that, but we have to wait. We don't say anything about the image. We have to see if someone sends... We ask them to report any images they might have projected or received.
Like violet, green, lederhosen. Drundles, you know, the German dress costume, lederhosen, drundles, that they wear all the time, but you know from Oktoberfest.
What I'm doing is we've inaugurated the technology. We're describing the syndrome, symptoms, the images coming in, and we're talking about the effects. We're trying to become, do what they call a meta, self-reflexivity. We're discussing the technology as it happens, discussing the effects it has. We're not just implementing a technology and see what happens. We're seeing what it means for previous culture, previous technology, as it gets actualized. That seems to be one of the main points.
And the perfect example of what you're discussing there, which is right, is how many marbles would it take to fill the Grand Canyon closet? Now, why would you want to know that? Well, you don't. But the point is well, how could you come to the thought of marbles in the Grand Canyon? Not that there is, it's understood there's a Grand Canyon. But if you came to the thought that you could come up with the number of marbles that it would take to fill the Grand Canyon, wouldn't that be interesting if your caller said, I was counting marbles and throwing them in the Grand Canyon to see how many it would fill? That resonance of the ESP part, that they're getting, they're sending this to you.
That image is happening right now.
That's correct. And they're sending that to you.
With that question, how many?
How many marbles fill all of the Grand Canyon? Specific number.
And you start off saying, isn't it amazing that humans come up with that thought?
Correct. Because otherwise, why couldn't they just think of the Grand Canyon? Or think of a specific phosphorus rock in the Grand Canyon, which there is no phosphorus in the Grand Canyon. But if they were paralleling phosphorus rock in the Grand Canyon, that would certainly be something that they would just get off the tip of their tongue. Do you see what I mean? They're allowing the transient synaptic vibrations in their mind to go to the farthest reaches that are, and allowing those images to come through for your ESP extravaganza.
Yeah, they are trying to create unique images
that would be not able to be validated any other way, because you can't get there from here.
So I see the human mind that's listening thinking, how can I create uniqueness in the blur? They then imagine a unique image. There's something in the human mind that wants to be different. It's like the human mind stubbornly, perversely, tries to disconnect from the non-physical unity that makes everybody apparently the same. And that's why non-physical, there's no creation, but here we create, because we can express our individual distortion from the bland non-physical unity or homogeneity. Not that it is, but that's what seems to be the perspective from here.
And that's causing a picture of a banana daiquiri ice.
Now, you're saying what I just said evoked that. They're responding.
The strangeness of the being different, being the leading edge, is a daiquiri ice cream that's called daiquiri ice, and it's with banana, which is weird. A banana daiquiri ice.
Ice cream, banana daiquiri
ice. Well, ice, you know, where you sort of blend it together or whatever.
Now, I know J.W. is an expert on food in a way, thanks to his wife's gourmet abilities. It does become a metaphor through Ion, a lot of food stuff. Is that the brain and experience of J.W. filtering?
No, it's the resonance that most people on your planet eat.
Oh, yeah, they're not like me. They eat, don't they?
Yeah, and they, from different cultures, eat different things, from different areas or regions, they enjoy different flavors and tastes.
That's the cultural expression of the difference each individual brain brings to this world.
Like a squirrel chimichanga.
What's chimichanga?
It's a Mexican flour that you take meat and put it in some different things and you fry it. Called a chimichanga. Chimichanga, but one made of squirrel is typically made of beef or chicken. But this particular image is one made of squirrel meat.
Now, how many thinkers are tuned in? Can you see that?
614.
I don't think we got this on record. That brings up, reminds me of a number, 14 co-creators. When we asked about the numbers of ION, the image was a dodecahedron. And I don't know if we got this on tape. What is the number that was on the one side of the triangle, of the 12 triangles of the dodecahedron? I guess it was 12.
Well, and then the angles that go from there, it was 640, and that went each degree that those angles went out was another 640. So it kind of got to be a vast, huge number. And then it wasn't just limited to 12, because as those angles interact with other angles, it makes other angles. Those are just the points.
Right, so it's good.
Dodecahedron.
When you see the platonic solid, the image of dodecahedron, it might have 12 triangles, right? Not sure, but I think it might.
Right, good point. They all interact into each other, you see, but you make other angles.
And so when you talk about moving a degree and adding on a new 640, is the total 360 degrees?
No.
No, because they're all interacting in...
And then you have the left and the right side of it. So each step, each millimeter on a dodecahedron would then create a new axis of angle.
So that's where you get your zillions. I have a nice cardinal, I think, in a tree just opposite me, seeing my first bird. That may be one I've missed or the first to show up, and we've been talking about it for half an hour before it showed up in my vision.
Well, no, in your perception,
yeah.
Your vision saw it immediately, just like we could hear the bird singing before you did.
And my vision saw it, you mean 20 minutes ago?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the larger perception of my organism.
But until you focused on seeing the red cardinal,
yeah.
It was the impossible dream. And once you realized that there was a red cardinal, and it was singing, and you all of a sudden then could hear it singing, and then you kind of looked, then you were able to see it. But you believed it before you saw it, because you could hear it singing.
What is it in my particular perceptual background that made me believe something before I saw it?
Well, you're just a marvelous creator who's never had resistance regarding anything.
Is that due to the environment that I grew up in, or did I bring that with me?
Or was it heredity? Isn't that interesting?
Hereditary, okay.
Well, it was it, that's your question, so... It maybe is a little of all, because you're always born as a perfect creator, just like a placenta, or
yeah.
What you would call afterbirth, when you give birth to a child.
You getting an image on that?
It's pretty graphic, too, by the by.
Oh, I wanted to ask if Ian can see me. Do you see us constantly during a session?
Sometimes it's just on your wanting as you open to things. That type of ESP, as you call it, can have a resonance. But see, sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's playful, you know, to go through different aspects. But now in the physical aspect, sometimes you get a much better snapshot because of that interaction or block of thought. Let's put that in a physical, from physical to physical. You can listen to have a conversation on the phone with somebody, and you all of a sudden realize that they're very distraught and upset. And it's nothing that they're saying, but you can just tell something's wrong. That's a good example of the same thing. And you may not know exactly what's wrong, but after a little while, you know what's wrong. Meaning you can tell something's wrong and what the issue is.
You're saying it's a good example of ESP?
No, of picking out, of looking at you. Sometimes you know just by the tone of what's going on. And that's physical to physical. See, because it's got to resonate in the physical, or it's just airy fairy stuff, and nobody says, oh, well, great, that's wonderful for non-physical, but how does that affect me? You get it from a physical standpoint. You go, oh, yeah, I can tell when somebody's upset or distraught or whatever, and they may not be saying they are that way, but you can just feel it. And there's the tone resonate with that.
And that's what Ian Ion can do in this communication.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And it's varying degrees.
But you brought my mother to JW to get into the physical, to make it stronger or something.
To resonate with that which was your knowing. Otherwise, you could potentially second-guess yourself. Imagine that, second-guess yourself. How do you do that? People do that all the time, don't they?
Well, that was what Eduardo was saying when he was celebrating the joy of the ion afterglow today at the dentist's office, and then he thought, what did he say? I'm thinking too much about it. You know, that's second-guessing yourself, isn't it?
Well, isn't it? But sometimes that can activate the Bliss Patrol.
Bliss Patrol is good?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Okay.
The patrol that would run around in focus bliss, my God.
That's okay.
The best
yeah.
of all worlds. That'd be as good as having Jesus come and live in your heart.
Yeah, I thought you might mean Bliss Police, stopping the bliss.
No, Bliss Patrol, you know. There's not enough bliss going on here. Pick up the bliss, pick up the bliss. And then that becomes the fastest path to your joy. If that's what you really came forth to be, that will always resonate with the non-physical part of you, and it will always put a red sombrero on an anaconda.
This would be an important part of the broadcasting of our new temple. This is part of the network.
That would run 24/7 if you're called your time all the time, so that actually access could be made available to everybody all the time as they resonate with it. Oh my God, what if the college kids pick up on it and get the answers to their kids?
There are a couple of college kids in Columbia listening to the show. Is there all ages listening right now?
Yeah.
Participating?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I find in the sessions with Ian that the idea that you find the fastest path to your joy, that's very difficult for humans to absorb. And then I think the electric environment has brought fastest path to your joy. You turn on the radio, you hear good music. We have technologically, like McLuhan said, arrived at the most amazing utopian communicatory speed and access.
Okay, now you have a little test coming through. Pi, symbol pi, is equal to 3.14.
This is someone projecting a test?
Mm-hmm. And instead, now pi, and this is the actual completion of it, this is the part they're communicating, is pi equals 3.1415926, and then the 6 goes on and duplicates to infinity.
That's the new pi.
No, that's what pi always has been, but for typical mathematics, pi would be 3.14, but they want to give it to the fullest degree, getting it down to infinity. It's 3.1415926, and the 6 duplicates to infinity.
Oh, 6 repeats.
Over and over, never stops. Now, that's very type-specific, and when that comes into that imagery or picture, it's like kabam. To infinity and beyond is as far as you can go, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're saying it comes into specific and bam, what does that sentence refer to?
Bam, it resonates with them that, oh my God, I was giving pi specifically and then talking about it in the rebroadcast or the dumbed-down version of your ESP show, it becomes a valid litmus test of their capacity to experience an ESP interaction.
So people, when they hear the response tomorrow on the show, they're going to say, man, this works. And then that's really going to make it a more higher-rated show next week.
Well, it is what it is. It's their interaction. And it's just so wonderful of you to have the creation to bring it to a place that could be their knowing. If they had to see it before they could believe it, this allows them now to see it. So they much more easy can embrace that idea of how cellular technology works anyway.
In cellular technology, the lithium-ion battery is the ESP technological we're talking about, and this is catching up to it, or making us realize this is a more efficient way.
And for some people, validating it, you see.
Carolyn, do you have anything? How's the show going?
I think it's going great, and it is interesting that you thought, I think, that you would be projecting out stuff to your audience.
Yeah, and they...
And didn't realize that they're going to be just flashing stuff to you. Or are, how much are they picking up on your brain and feeding it back to you? So it's very seamless web, non-veiled stuff.
And Forrest Gump. Me as Forrest Gump. Here I did, didn't think about the show, didn't know what I'm going to do, showed up with very little action involved, had no conceptions about what we're going to do, and then I, Ian, helped. This kind of dumb, blank state of mind I'm in, it seems to be a good tactile interval phase to allow things to happen. Am I on the right track there? With-
yeah, because there's no resistance.
Yeah.
And that's why you can go straight to the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes.
Okay, we can. My producer says we have to go for a break. The next show is on. We're ending with Rockettes, Carolyn. Okay, so we'll be tuned in next week, same time for what was the name of the show? Highway to Hell. Was that it? That was the music.
Perfect words. Perfect words.
Okay.
Thanks so much for having us on.
You too, Eon. Hey, JW, did you make the show? We had, it was a big show.
I feel like I've been to the Bijou.
The Bijou
Theater, yeah, with all the pictures.
Wow. What fun. It was jumping. She had a bigger audience than you thought.
Definitely. I thought I had three people. We came up with a name for the show.
At the beginning, you just called it something cash flow, but...
No, then in the middle, we came up with a great line. Melting titanium, that's what it was. Yeah. So that's what we're calling it.
Yeah, and if you want to have some fun, why don't you figure out on your internet what the melting point of titanium is.
So you got many pictures.
Oh, my God. And there wasn't any set thing that somebody could say, oh, well, you just thought, well, okay, you just got there. I mean, it went all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, the placenta thing is a little more than I want to read.
So it's interesting, Ian Ion said that this has never been attempted before.
At this degree and level, no.
Yeah, it's a radio show. It's actually silly. I mean, I was going to ask at the end.
Yeah.
I know that some listeners, since I made the March 25th manifesto about thinning of the veil, a certain kind of mind or scientific tradition will say, well, Bob's gone off the deep end. He's not talking about society or what we know and what's interesting, what he can do. So I knew that would affect. So I was thinking to come up with it and say, okay, we got a radio show, we got a new technology, just start thinking and projecting or listening. It's such a quick, flaky idea, and but that's what I allow to happen to be associated with me. Totally flaky ideas.
so much so it made the bird sing.
You saw a cardinal out here?
Yeah, about 20 or 15 minutes ago on that tree there. It finally showed up, and it really stayed there a long time.
Well, it was there before you saw it.
When I mentioned it to Ian Ion,
mm-hmm.
I was saying Ian because pretending he was a human co-host, but it then started to fly off.
Mm-hmm.
Once I had seen it and mentioned it, it then left.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're still singing.
The thing is, I can appear to be totally flaky, but I can talk hard knowledge with the best of them.
Now, there are other people who also have what you call psychic abilities. We've already established that everybody does, but it's activated in. Okay? Now, when you activated your show, sometimes by putting that out, you resonated in your participant or viewer count or what do you call that, numbers, your Nielsen rating went up when you activated that and put it out that they could pick up on. The same way that birds pick up when that tsunami is going to come. The same way that mules will turn their butts to a storm when a storm is coming.
The psychic people may not have even known about the show, but once I announced it on their network, they picked up on it.
It was so loud they couldn't hear
anything else. Is this happening during the show?
Yeah.
Ah, they picked up during the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you were putting out the signal.
On their wavelength.
On that one they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And
they already know they can do. And that's where you were getting some of the strain.
that's like a cartoon image. You know, I've seen a snake with a Mexican sombrero on.
We all have.
Oh, okay. Is that a cliche image, Carol?
I think it's a cartoon image.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
You think about it, yeah.
But it is strange normally. If you think of meditators, the cliche is they meditate love and peace images. We were getting totally unique images.
Specific type, specific images that once you have your regular show and folks are checking back in and they start talking about the things that they were seeing to try to quiz you and you have then the recording of it happening beforehand, it's kind of like, oh, wow. You might want to alphabetize the list so when people are talking about it, you can go, yep,
put
them there.
Yeah, yeah. Now, tomorrow, do we announce that we got images or do we wonder? I don't know how many people will be listening, even send in stuff. We don't usually get
that. At the top of the hour, you ask people to quickly text in or email in or phone in.
Any images they got or sent. Got or sent.
And or anything they picked up on.
Yeah.
Because, wait a minute, you want to have some fun? Let's have some fun. Let's say you're folks in Canada that were participating in the show. They might have sent something in, or they may have picked up on what you were putting out on your radio show. If they text back some of those things, you can't get there from there.
Did I put out the discussion of verbal concepts that we went through or the images that Ion was picking up that Tolman had wrote down? Is that considered a putting out an image?
Yes,
it is, because it went into your show. That's what was put out. So they call in and they're talking to you. So what they're putting in goes out, and everybody that's listening to your show hears that as well. So somebody sending in what Pi is, which is strangest thing I've ever heard of in my whole entire life. Sending in what Pi is, somebody else may come in and say, I thought Pi was 3.14 and you had a whole, I got a whole other thing of what Pi is. And that's the very, 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 very specific parts. And that's from your Columbia folks, I think.
The students at Columbia University, right?
Mm-hmm. And see, that becomes a kick of, wow. And if they send that in to you, it validates it from what you experienced from your own show. Is that what Dionne Warwick did when she had her Psychic Friends Network? She started it, and then a lot of people got to participate in that, that were attracted and resonated with that. But it didn't happen before she put it out. It's like your ESP radio show didn't happen until you put it out. But what you're doing in physical is you're taking ESP and you're making it available. And that's activating with the folks who thought they could do it but wasn't sure. And the next thing you know, they got jostled. The lightning struck, the thunder cracked, it woke them up out of their slumber, and they realized that they were experiencing a thunderstorm.
Yeah, they're only the beginning. I write that down. Singing in the rain. That's what that meant. That was the first image which set the tone of the effect that people would get from the images of what they were experiencing. Suddenly says, holy geez, it's just pouring in on them.
And some people think they're not worthy to do that. And the rain falls on them just like it does the ones that are worthy.
That's what we're doing. This show sings in the rain.
Well, hey, your ESP or you wouldn't be playing. What do you think it means?
Mm-hmm. Now, when we go on tomorrow with Ian, I'd like to let James say, is he going to bring up the show right away or not? I want to talk about not just the show. I want Ian to discuss some of the themes or whatever James brings up. He often brings up an anecdote that happened to him, and we'll have Ian comment on. So Ian will be not just commenting on last night. When I call you, you're 5 to 9. Then we talk, and then I put him on hold, and I phone Bill. When Bill comes on, well, I'll have brought JW back on, and he'll hear the phone ringing. Bill answers. I say, it's Bob. He says, okay, Bob, we'll put you through. And I say, Bill, I'm carrying someone with me and coming, bringing someone on. He goes, oh. And I'll say, yeah, his name is Ian. Ian. So JW will say, hello, Bill. This is Ian. Then Bill will pass us through. And then we go on what I call the mute period. We wait for the commercials. That is the period when JW can flip into Ion/Ian. But I will introduce JW to Bill as Ian.
Of course.
Yeah, even though it's JW at that point. Because we don't want it known that you're in trance. You know, because that's not relevant right now. It's a trick we're playing, laid for later.
Yeah.
In retrospect, I mean, all like Eduardo and Steve and Scott and Sue, there's four people there. But anyways, four.
Internet radio.
It's in Walmarts. It's all over the place. Different media pick it up in different formats. But at least four people will listen tomorrow. And they'll recognize JW's voice. They'll recognize it's Ion. And if I've told them, and Chad will be listening, who's here in Maui, his girlfriend might be listening, they've had time for me to explain how JW got to it. And so they'll know how we got the name Ion from Ian. So they'll know that I'm referring to Ion, even though they'll recognize the voice. They'll get the Ian part, too. And they'll go, holy shit, Ion's right there on the radio. And Bob Vincenti is just another a colleague of the Secret Council of Ten. Which is really true, though, because we're working with the Astroplane. But everything's coming up roses. We work with, you know, I talk about my team and what we're doing. We're bringing in Cold Fusion, and we're going to erase everybody's debt, and all this stuff that JW's been suggesting. This is what the team's doing. So this, finally, they get to hear one of my team.
And he turns out to be gone.
He was happy to be on the radio. It's so symbolic of the Astroplane now co-creating with human technology.
Has been all along, but now there's a resonance regarding it.
Yeah,
it's different. And Bob, if I could tell you what I found out today, the aspect of the asking, this is actually from her specifically, because I just couldn't do it anymore. I had to quit. I had to stop. I had to wait. I mean, I was like gone.
Yeah.
In this whole process, then all of a sudden I'm sort of going through and asking questions, and I had to go to Ian's house and play. It was just amazing. And then some of it was how far this will go, how far it will reach, how it will open, and the receptiveness to folks into this whole process, and how booking is this going to be a nightmare. Because folks are just all over the place, you know, and even bribery, trying to see somebody else.
The billionaires are bribing to get in.
You know, I'd like to take his next 40 hours so he's available at my beck and call thing.
Yeah.
You know? But it was just amazing because it's just so simple.
And that's the end of that. At the very end, JW getting a vision of Iondom, knocked him off his pedestal.
So that was JW talking the whole time?
No, not the whole time. Only JW comes on after an hour.
What I meant was when you guys were talking and planning how you were going to present the next show,
yeah,
there was a point there where I kind of got confused and I thought, is Ion starting to slip through again?
Well, yeah, sometimes right after a session, JW, he's like oblivious, he's stupid, and then he gets smart. It's like it's pulsing in and out somehow, and then he finally is just JW. But, yeah, it begins to sound clear. So there, isn't that wonderful? There it is. That's a famous show. That's us beginning the conspiracy to take over. And we get told by JW right at the end of how glorious it's all going to happen. We told it's going to be victory fucking on a huge scale right there at the end.
Are you going to play the actual next show that you were pre-planning?
Yeah, you would go listen to April 15th, 2009, which is the next day after what you've just heard, and hear what I did that hour. I don't know what we did. We went on and probably read the things out. I don't remember getting much response. Nobody fucking responded. No, nobody cared about this.
From my memory, it was melting titanium. For me, it was like, whoa, what the... From my perspective, I was very scrutinizing about what I was witnessing.
And you're saying these guys are claiming they're communicating with people all over the world. And there was no evidence of it. There's no recording of it. On April 15th, James doesn't have a clue. James had a session, but he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what he talked to. He doesn't believe it or whatever. So we can't destroy his reputation. So we're going to say it's a human being. So I'm practicing the night before for the April 15th cash flow where we're going to present Ian. So I started calling Ion, because we didn't call him Ian, we call him Ion. He was called Ion for one day at the beginning.
One day, yeah.
So it's always Ion, but I'm reverting back to calling him Ian in this recording, as we pretend we're doing a radio show, to rehearse calling him Ian. That's the only reason I'm calling him Ian. And if you'll notice, the very first second, I say, okay, Ion. And then he's there. And then I switch, oh, yeah, we got to call him Ian. So you'll hear as JW, he's asking, but what are we going to do tomorrow? He doesn't understand what we're going to do. He thinks he's going to come on and pretend he's Ian and not even channel Ion at first. And he wouldn't use the word channel, but, you know, project Ion. And I said, no, Ion's going to do it. You're going to go into an altered state. But I'm going to call him Ian and pretend he's a human being. So you'll hear a little later, because right now you're hearing us discuss it after. We've done our radio show. We are discussing what happens. I tell him that we call Bill. I get Bill to call JW, I think it is. Then there's the music with James introducing the show. And during the music and the intro of the show, that's when JW is to let Ion come through.
And Bill wasn't into all this back then.
He wasn't in it for 2 years. He wasn't into it until the RNA drops showed up for him. Bill thinks we're ridiculous. And Bill and James aren't even registering what's going on. They just said, oh, yeah, okay, put Bob on, talk for an hour. And we only do an hour for about 3 or 4 weeks. Then we do a two-hour show. It's not till January that we start doing a three-hour show, middle of January. But this is a year before. This is April 2009. Bill's not even going to be thinking about Ion for another year because we're not on his station until October. And this is April. You've got to realize how early this is. JW himself, you hear us talking to him, he doesn't understand what we're going to do. And he's a bit nervous about being on the radio. There's this billionaire guy who wants anonymity is suddenly going to be exposed. And I found out a long time later that JW had to suppress himself. He had to get used to this. He had to really go through a bit of anxiety to adapt himself to being vulnerable to doing this stuff. But he keeps to himself. We never talked about it. It wasn't for a couple of years later that Ryan was telling us that the anxiety JW went through in the first few months.
The thing about Bill is he's producing all this new age, you know, nonsense, but I mean, it's
yeah.
That's his position. He's like, oh, here's another one coming through.
Yeah, just another fucking nonsense.
Yeah,
he doesn't know about us at this point. We are not going to be on until October. This is April 2009. We don't come on to October 2009. Now, what drew attention, he started to notice us. Let's say into November or January 2010. You know what he noticed? That we were the biggest fucking bullshitters he'd ever heard of. What we did was so fucking ridiculous. What I have said is these guys are over the top for being liars and hoaxers.
Right.
That's what he thought we were. For 2 years.
It was good.
You know, I would occasionally do science, and Bill's explained because he knows science, or he knows technology. Ian would always be fucking wrong, whatever he would say. It's not till you realize, when Bill started to realize the reality of Ian, he knew that, of course, Ian has to fucking fuck it up, because if the government finds out this guy's 100% right 100 times, we got trouble, okay?
Right.
He understand later, he realized how sophisticated I was in manipulating his image, appearing stupid, appearing fucking up. Also, he knew that people in the audience didn't know science, so he'd make it real simple. And then there's other aspects that Ion actually was right, but Bill, using the old model, not knowing about RNA and the flip stuff, Bill actually, his regular knowledge was wrong. And he didn't know that Ion was right, but Ion was talking from a whole different level. You have to look at the flow, the speed, the rapidity. And Ion is already doing amazing composition. He's planting truth and fiction in there to be understood 5 years later as an interesting manipulation from the get-go. You have to realize what he says in the early sessions right away that we don't realize for a year or two later what he put in there.
Well, my background was that the more I scrutinized what science was and what history was, that it was all fucked up. That's what gave me the ability to listen to Ion and say,
accept him.
I'm like, oh, well, this is all bullshit, you know?
With Carolyn, I had heard 25 years of bad science and medicine. So I had no respect for science anymore just by following what Carolyn was learning through trial and error for years, realizing how ridiculous and bullshitty it all was.
Right.
So I was ready to hear any kind of speculation or something, because the regular authorities had blown it already. I had the advantage of the front row seat with Carolyn's experience.
You know, I didn't know what the truth was, but I knew it was all fucked up.
And which is natural. That's where you bring in McLuhan. That's where you bring in the information overload, and science was obsolete as a visual space control mechanism. We weren't there anymore. The point is that McLuhan could give you the big picture of how science could not fit anymore. And if you actually looked at the Copenhagen conference in 1927 and the later conferences and the problem between Einstein and the quantum mechanics, they were in simple terms trying to visualize what couldn't be visualized anymore because we moved into electric tactile invisibility. And science has always been weak on that point. Science being visual space. It did not match the effects of electricity anymore. That's why Einstein got a breakthrough. You know, he was just describing the post-visual space effects of kinetic machines and electric tactile machines.
But the 418 group didn't use Einstein's equations. They used
No. The ascended people, they don't fucking deal with that shit. They can go to different worlds and all this stuff. They're beyond measuring what reality is because they're not operating in one reality.
I tried to look up, you mentioned the 418 group.
They're not anywhere. It's a term made up by Ion. I don't even know if it's real. Maybe it really occurs to somebody, but he made up the term for some reason.
Yeah,
I think it's because there are 418 of them. They're the interface between the real ascended guys like Saint Germain and higher levels of the old Illuminati or whoever else worked themselves up there. They're sort of a sub-Illuminati, I would say. But they're a little more advanced.
Sub-Illuminati?
Well, they're more advanced than the globalists that Alex Jones is worried about. They're, you know, see, they don't care about running this world. Some of them do because they're involved for materialist reasons, but, you know, economic reasons. But if you can go to other worlds, you don't give a fuck what happens here. You're not trying to control it. This is the myth of Freemasons. They're not trying to control this world.
The 418 might be a combination of other worlds also.
Yeah, we call it the parallel world economy.
But, Bob, you bring him up all the time, and he goes, you give him too much credence.
Who says that?
Ion says to you, you bring up the 418, he always like, you give him too much credit.
Yeah, he for various reasons, probably, he plays it down, you know, this and that. But every now and then he says, no, Bob, you can't talk about that and then.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff I can't talk about, which involves
right.
them.
I understand that.
And Ion basically says, Bob, if you know too much, you will be immediately labeled a terrorist because you are unauthorized to know that. So how do you know? You must be part of secret spying or something.
Yeah, but I thought you were the Secret Council of 10.
I disbanded that. That doesn't exist. I created a new level of Secret Council of 10. The old guys are obsolete and flopping around,
right,
and they're
right.
useless. And there was nothing from 1990 till 2009. When I met JW, I realized this is a new whippersnapper. This guy's interesting. He's not a normal asshole. So that eventually evolved into Ion, and then I knew we had become a new Secret Council 10, what I had met before, but it was just three or four of us. You know, it was.
Yeah, but you didn't have to use the Evergreens anymore.
Right, and then we start making the product, so we took over. So we are upsetting the 418 group. They usually don't have to pay attention to much.
I gotcha.
But they are, wait a minute, things are flipping. There's some dramatic cosmic plane level thing going on here with Ion. They have to deal with that. It's affecting their reality. Deep hidden ground. Some of them have had sessions with Ion. You know, indirectly, they get some lackey to have a session, some guy. And we find out later from Ion, he identifies who the fucking kid was working for. You can't hide anything from Ion. And I just want to say, here it is, we're doing the dodecahedron. I used to study that stuff with LaRouche's geometry years before, but I hadn't looked at it in years. And so I'm saying that there's 12 angles in the dodecahedron. That's not true. It's 12 faces.
That's true.
Yeah. So if Mentor comes on, Bob, you don't even know what the dodecahedron is. Yeah, I don't know nothing 3.5 weeks into it.
Yeah, but
I didn't even know we were going to talk about
it. I was arguing with you on that point.
I'm just telling you, I haven't done any homework on it. I'm winging it during this first radio show. Don't hold me to it, because I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to remember as we were talking about.
I had learned a lot about the dodecahedron from Drunvalo. And a dodecahedron, and when you guys first started talking about it, I was going, you guys are full of shit.
Yeah.
And it's all made up of pentagons.
But here's what you should notice. Is we're talking, and Ion's not correcting me. Ion knows, but he changes it to points. I keep saying triangles
right.
as well, points. He doesn't want to get distracted by us fucking trying to figure out what it is, because we've got other points to be made, right?
Right.
So he lets
right.
it go. And, you know, this is the first time we're talking about the dodecahedron. He brought up the first session or two saying that they were a dodecahedron, but I didn't go into what it is. Now I'm asking him, okay, we never got this on tape. What is a dodecahedron? 12 triangles. What? How do you figure out the number of entities? And that's not even what Ion is later. That's just the idea that there's a bunch of entities around Ion. And that's not
right.
what it is. Ion is a structure of the Gulf containing millions of entities. But, you know, the way your mind went, oh, that's bullshit, which naturally mind does. You got that in happening in the audience all the time during cash flow because I don't know what I'm talking about or we're just winging
no.
it. I sound very knowledgeable about very esoteric stuff, which is pretty amazing to know. I can sound like a genius. But then they're surprised that I don't know fucking the alphabet. You know, and they go, how come we didn't know the alphabet? Well, we're moving so fast, and I forgot a lot of stuff in a lot of this process with Ion over the last couple of years. I know it better back in CKLN days. I know general knowledge better. I knew about the dodecahedron that in the 80s because I studied LaRouche's geometry. He goes into the five atomic solids, and it's on my chart. I had not discussed my chart in years. It's only when Ion started talking about this chart that I had to fucking go back and remember it. I actually know a lot, but I got to go back and rehearse it and catch up on that stuff, which I don't even respect anymore because we're doing different things with Ion.
Yeah,
it's
that's understandable.
And when you actually got a substance that's the best food in the world, I don't give a fuck what anybody else knows and does. We top them with the drops. We created that.